The anti-Bush press makes terrorists.
Their interests are not your interests. Their truth is not your truth. The corporations have their media. Now we have ours. The Progressive Podcast Network. Now we are the media. Listen to your media. Take your country back. Go to ProgressivePodcastNetwork.org. The Progressive Podcast Network. ProgressivePodcastNetwork.org.
Welcome back to Watch It Burn, everybody.
Yeah, you deserve to burn. You know.
No, why don't you explain?
Ow, don't slap my nipple! Suck!
What's you wish!
Help!
They got enough of that already.
Oh, man. Weren't we gonna, like, ad-lib something witty here?
Never mind, enjoy the show, guys.
Thank you for your continued support. Ow, damn it!
Thank you for coming back, downloading. This is Morgana, wife of Dave. Dave is here.
Hello, everybody.
And we think it's important to do the podcast because there's a lot of things that Dave would like to inform you on as far as what it's like to be a soldier deployed, what it's like to be in the Army, and now more importantly, what it's like to be out of the Army, the many adjustments we have to make, the guilt that we feel, like what's going on in the news with the soldiers that were kidnapped from Fort Drum and how their bodies are showing up and how upsetting and disturbing that is to us. And as much as we want to get into that, the first thing we would like to address is, as some of the people might know, we've been experiencing some difficulties, to say the least. Not that too many details are needed. It's just that this is part of a depression of sorts, the adjustments, the changes, everything that comes into play, things that you don't really see in the media. Everybody knows about the soldiers that come back that aren't the same. It's known in every war that soldiers come back and they're different. And Dave here believes that he didn't need to address them because he didn't see some of the things that other people saw. Totally not realizing the experience he has and the impact that they have made on his life. And because of some recent issues in our personal life, he has come to realize that maybe he does need to figure out what's going on, address some of the hidden anger issues that he has, and we're working on it. We're just going to work on it. And infidelity is something very common in the military. We've been married for over 11 years, 12 years this fall, and this is our first real experience at it. And I hold no fault. I understand what's going on, and people may not understand how I can overlook certain things, but it's my marriage. And this man has...
Our marriage.
You're right. Sorry.
It's okay.
This man has been an incredible husband up until this point, and quite frankly, with a little bit of understanding and some compromises, we'll work through this. We have our own solutions to the situation, see the situation for what it is and not what people might imagine it to be, but either way, it is a side that I do want him to talk about, because I know there's other soldiers out there that come back feeling completely different and not sure how to evaluate themselves, how to blend in the person they were to the person they're becoming. And I think that maybe as he's more comfortable, he might want to talk about it.
It is. It's difficult to get started because I don't really know where to start and what to talk about.
We don't have to talk about it because you're going to be going to the counseling.
Yeah.
Bottom line is the VA paperwork's been filled out. The counseling's going to begin. And
I should have known by today, but I haven't gotten any word back yet from the bastards. But it is a monolithic bureaucracy that is probably, well, is undoubtedly pretty freaking swamped right now.
You know, honestly, we can just go into how overstressed and tired the VA system is.
Yeah, definitely. That's been showing up a lot in the news. Everybody's pretty much aware of that.
Oh, you know what's really messed up that I found out about work?
What's that?
Our Walter Reed branch is actually closed down due to pipe leaking. So even the credit union had to close their doors because of how terrible the condition of that building is.
My God.
So even our branch had to close. So if our branch is closed, and who knows how many wings are closed, what is happening to all the veterans that really need the help?
Yeah. Well, now that it's affected a financial institution, Republicans are going to be all for fixing it.
I don't know. It's just kind of messed up. I mean, I don't really hold any fault to probably a lot of the employees there really wanted to do help.
Well, yeah. You just have to deal with the system that you're in.
But how many of the employees didn't care? Because if the system didn't care, why did they didn't care?
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of them got to that point where they just had seen enough and just said, fuck it.
Well, if you get enough complaints and you're dealing with complaints all the time, eventually you just kind of have a suck it attitude.
Yeah, eventually you tune it out.
You do, and you become hardened.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that's probably happened to some of the staff. Some of them probably got hired with the intention to truly help out soldiers and probably at this point are so tired of the wrecked lives that they experience, the depressed people, on top of the absolutely horrifying conditions that they have to work in. How many of them are decent caregivers still?
Yeah. Yeah, something like that's got to break anybody down, really.
Well, you're only as good as the support you get from your employer.
True.
You know, I was getting to a point where I was getting tired of my job, and then the CEO had a little talk with us, and it really gave me renewed faith in the business that I work in, and made me feel like a valued person, and that changed my attitude.
Yeah, because he actually took the time and to come and give you guys actual practical, real world advice, not just saying, "Hey, do your best for the company."
No, he was actually advising. So here we are, Walter Reed.
And he was actually telling employees that they need to start investing for their future and telling them to start saving for retirement and stuff. And
oh, it was incredible. He was telling, he was directing to the 20-somethings, saying, "Hey, you guys have no pension. You need to."
Right.
But not about this, about what's going on with the many veterans are coming back. They're coming back different, coming back wounded, coming back with missing limbs, coming back with psychological problems, and there's just not enough support. And here we are in Eugene, where there's not a lot of what we thought be veterans, and they're way stressed out, where they're trying to even encourage you to go to an outside source, if you can.
Right. Right. It's really... I mean, I knew all along that the VA system was overstressed and underfunded, and, you know, I kind of realized it on an intellectual level. But then, you know, as far as, like, just, you know, reading about it and knowing, okay, you know, that's been reported. But then, you know, to find out, to face it firsthand, you know, that's when it really hits home. You're like, holy crap, it is bad. You know, you can sit there and say, yeah, it's bad, and know that it is bad, but it's just really... There is something completely different about experiencing it firsthand. That just really, it does give you a sense of kind of like hopelessness in a way.
I'm worried that the Walter Reed story was a 5-minute trend, and they're moving on, and they're so upset by the Democrats agreeing to Bush's terms for the most part that now everybody's all upset about the war in Iraq, which I believe we need to be upset. But are we still going to help our veterans now. The people are coming back that are mentally exhausted. And now that they have to go back for 15 months and Bush has been given another blank check again, so that many more people are going to come back messed up. Who's going to help and fix the VA system? Because the VA is overstressed. They are just absolutely beyond capacity. There's just not enough funding for the amount of soldiers. And every day there's more soldiers coming back that are going to need the services.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's the whole fucking effects of the damn occupation. You have just so many different layers to the fucking, to the onion, I guess. You know, that it, you have just the occupation itself is the core, and there's just so many other fucking effects from it just piled on top of it and wrapped around it, where you have, you know, overstressed veterans clinics, you have the whole, you know, system shutting down like that, you have the atrocities and abuses carried on by troops because they're, you know, in a no-win situation and starting to realize it and feeling hopeless.
I worry about the people out there that don't have your support system. And I'm not trying to make you feel any guilt by any means, that you do have an incredible system.
I do. I mean, I've got you, I've got family, I've got my listeners, you know.
Right.
I get so many freaking emails from people saying, hey, man, hang in there. We got, you know, we're behind you. You know, and...
And that is going to make the difference.
Can use some donations.
Shut up. You can get a jobby job.
Oh, get a job, throw my life away?
Yeah, whatever. Anyway.
That was a running gag long ago, but anyway.
You have a support system. Yeah. And if it weren't for some of the understanding that some of us have between your mom and me, where would you be? I mean, where would you be if I said, hey, you know what? This is bullshit. Get the hell out.
I'd be under Amazon. I'd be under a bridge at Amazon Creek with the other homeless vets.
That's what I'm afraid of. And that's not, you know, you have the support, but I really feel bad for the guys who don't have the support, who come home and their families don't understand, and they get tired of hearing them groan, you know, mm-hmm. and mope around. Because you've been moping around for the last, 4 months?
About that, yeah.
Where you don't want to go outside, you don't want to be around anybody, you barely tolerate being awake, and all you want to do is be online and do senseless searches.
The thing I noticed too, though, and I've mentioned to you, is that once I actually get up and do something, I always enjoy myself doing it.
You do.
Whether we're going to a friend's place or going to the coast or something, it's just that, like I told you, I literally feel sick to my stomach at the prospect of going out and being around people.
So I don't make you do things very often, but like, last weekend?
We went to the coast.
Yeah, we went to the coast 2 weekends ago, and you were very against it, but it was Mother's Day, so I forced you, and you had a good time.
Guilt is a powerful motivator.
Yeah, it is. And I try not to use it very often because my powers are strong.
It's the most effective arsenal. It's the most effective weapon in the wife's arsenal.
But I want you to be the person that like to go to a pub. I want you to be the person that wants to do something stupid with your friends. I want you to be that person who enjoys his existence. Mm-hmm. And eventually you will get to that point. I know you will get the counseling. I think your counseling is limited, but if they at least get you started.
I think between counseling and going back to school and having a friggin' purpose again, it's going to make a huge difference.
You need to involve yourself in your social life again.
Yeah, but people suck.
Even back at Fort Campbell, you were pulling away. You had some good friends.
Yeah, but look at our neighbors.
I had some nice neighbors.
Well, the neighbors were cool for the most part, but you know, if we ever ended up having a barbecue out there, fucking Jim was going to show up.
Leave Jim alone.
Even you, I have to admit, Jim was a freaking moron.
Anyway.
And annoying and creepy.
Anyway. I do feel bad for the guys who don't have the support.
No,
and I want to know, what should we do about it? I mean, should we just sit here and talk about it and say, wow, I feel sorry for that homeless Iraqi vet? Or what do we do to help them? Because if the VA's not helping them and we can identify where they're at, you know, if they're past the point, is it really a past the point? I mean, aren't they worth some kind of help?
Of course. You know, they're my brothers and sisters. I gotta do something.
So should we be doing something?
Yes.
I mean, I don't want to be just a person who sits here and talks about what's wrong all the time. I mean, how do you...
Yeah, because we're pretty much doing the moral equivalent of just slapping a support our troops sticker on the car.
So I guess we'll find out what to do.
Once I can start getting some time where I'll have Ben in the daycare and stuff like that, I think I'm going to start volunteering somewhere.
I mean, even coming up with your own nonprofit organization that's, you know, Iraqi Vets United, you know, and regardless of
There's already a few organizations out there already, so...
Is there that in Eugene?
You know, actually, I think I probably could... Trying to find some people that's and nice get an if there's IVAW chapter.
If there's organizations out there, that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But
it's just local chapters need to be started.
Exactly, local chapters. Because nobody wants... I mean, when you're talking about barely having enough to afford to eat, how the heck are you going to drive 2 hours to Portland to find a support center?
Yeah.
I mean, why not create one around here? And there's not much we can offer at this point other than, hey, you want to sit and talk, and hey, you know, I have a garage. I can convert that to a room, you know. Not that I want random strangers in the house, because you got to think about safety of the family and all that. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there's got to be a way to do some kind of at least moral support. Because if the VA isn't going to take care of them, and if the government is limited to what they can do, well, then why don't we just bond together and help each other? Because all it takes is one person to get the organization started, and then... it can feed itself and do something. I mean, wouldn't that be something that might make you feel a little better?
I think that, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to send in my application and join IVAW. That's the Iraq Veterans Against the War, IVAW.org. And I'm going to see if I can get together with some guys around here and start a local chapter.
That's what you need to do.
At the beginning of it. And then, I don't know, I had, actually, seriously, for a little while now, for a couple months, I have been thinking about starting up like a foundation of some sort.
I think that's a good idea.
I think I'd need some money to do that, but I figure I could probably get, plenty of donations if I started up, start the wheels moving. And I'm thinking...
When there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah.
If there could be a little boy out there that starts a lemonade stand and ends up sending, collecting... Oh, wait, no, even better, that kid that is in Oregon who wanted to...
Was that the
Feed the Hungry
one?
No, he wanted to feed the hungry, so what he did is he decided to have a book sale. And then that book sale kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And now, he's bringing in, each year he does his book sale, like $100,000.
Wow.
To feed the hunger.
Awesome kid. Good
parents. What about those two kids that started off with a turkey drive for Thanksgiving? They're on the Today Show every year around Thanksgiving time. It started off with the two of them. The first year they had like 12 turkeys. The next year they had 50 turkeys. Now it's hundreds and hundreds of turkeys that they combine. It starts off small, but every year it gets a little bigger. You want a purpose that ties into the shortfalls that is happening. There's your purpose. You can help other veterans. You can use your own stories and how you started falling apart and how you build yourself up to identify and help other people. And through their healing, your healing, all the other hippie whatever shit, you can figure something out that's going to fit you.
We are kind of in the hippie central area here, so yeah.
Well, you know what I mean.
Militant hippieism.
I mean, we do have support in this neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
We have... You don't even like wearing your been there, done that Iraqi shirt because you're tired of people going up to you and shaking your hand saying thank you.
Yeah.
But
I can't even accept people's gratitude because I feel that it's kind of... My experience is, polluted, I guess.
Wow. I think you can accept it because you would think that of them when you find out that they've been to World War II or Vietnam.
Yeah.
I mean, I said that to a coworker who's like, oh, your husband's over in Iraq. Thank you for your service. I'm like, dude, you were in Vietnam. What are you thanking me for? You had it worse. Well, how do you figure? My husband doesn't get spit on. You did. There's a big difference between Vietnam and Iraq. Even though we hate the war right now, nobody's taking it, not that I'm aware of, nobody's taking it out on the soldiers. The only thing that's taken out on the soldiers is the government ignoring that the soldiers are coming back psychologically fucked up.
Oh, the Vietnam thing, though? We got a video that really, really emphasizes just how much the anti-war movement at the time embraced soldiers that were coming back. It's called Sir No Sir. You can find it at sirnosir.com. I got a free copy of it. And if you're listening to this and you're currently on active duty, you can go... I think IVAW is still giving out a free copy to active duty service members. I... At one point, the producer had sent me 20 discs, and I distributed them all around to LS Anaconda in Iraq. In fact, I had some pretty clever ways of doing it, too. There were places where people would park their trucks for the night, and as I would walk by, I would just toss one on the driver's seat through the window as I went by, knowing that someone was going to see it and think, oh, free DVD, and they were going to watch it. And it really is an eye-opener, showing how a huge portion of the Vietnam anti-war movement actually started from soldiers saying, fuck this. And that the civilian anti-war movement, it had its own momentum, but the soldiers, well, the service members, because there were sailors involved too, really added a lot of momentum to it. In fact, there was one female Navy lieutenant that, when they found out that the Air Force was dropping propaganda leaflets on North Vietnam, she went and rented a small plane, and they dumped anti-war leaflets all over a military base. Because, and they made it really small pieces of paper because they knew the guys that would have to go out and pick it up were the lower enlisted, the privates and, mm-hmm. and the corporals that were going to be out there doing it. And those were the guys the message would get to, not to the officers.
Well, I think as we get comfortable and you talk about whatever it is that's bothering you, that even though you're not comfortable with it, I think it would be healthy for other people to know that it doesn't matter your experience, level of experience, we're all affected. And nobody has to feel alone.
Yeah. Yeah, the biggest thing problem I'm having with it right now is just not knowing what is wrong, what is bothering me specifically, you know.
And we'll figure that out, won't we? Yeah.
You know, I even had a name already picked out for the Foundation for Veterans Helping Veterans. I was thinking about calling it something like I Got Your Six. Are you looking at me like that?
Because I don't know what that means.
Oh, 6 o'clock is your rear position, meaning I got your six means I'm covering your back.
Okay.
That's the thing service members
Look,
would know.
I could tell you Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Delta, Echo, Foxtrot, you know, but I can't
Golf,
do the
Hotel,
other
India, stuff. Juliet, Kilo, Lima, yeah. Mike, November, mm-hmm. Oscar, Papa, Quebec, Romeo, Sierra, Tango, Uniform, Victor, Whiskey, X-Ray, Yankee, Zulu.
That's just great.
But can you count from 0 to 9, Army style, radio style?
Niner?
0, 1, 3, or there's a 2 in there too.
You know what? You
okay,
have a
I
beer.
Can't even count. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9er.
You are such a stud.
Hey, that's radio.
Wow,
talk.
You are such a stud.
I'm a radio guy now. I don't beat on helicopters anymore. I've got another radio stuff.
Yeah. Okay. All right. You want to take a break?
I suppose we can. I've got a donated song from. I think I'll do the Order of the White Rose one, and I'll put it on here.
Is that in order of my white roses that are opening up that you bought me for Valentine's Day?
No, but that's nice. A nice
you segue
into it.
You just think so much of me, don't you?
What?
I just told you this morning and showed you the first white rose that opened.
Yes,
and
but the reason I said Order of the White Rose is because that's the name of the band that sent me the MP3 I'm going to throw in here.
Right, which you told
and
me
you
about the band after...
And you can find them on MySpace. oh, geez. I can't remember their thing, but if you go into my friends, you'll see Order of the White Rose, and I really recommend you do a search for White Rose Society and
research
you'll see
what that's about.
Yeah, and you'll see what the original White Rose Society was all about and the courage that they displayed against the Nazis. And with that...
Yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. That was Ghosts of the Sidewalk by Order of the White Rose. They were so kind as to send that to me a long, long time ago, and I have been very negligent in not putting that on sooner, getting an episode out there, out here, out wherever, out to you all. And if you want to hear their stuff, you can go ahead. You can find them at myspace.com/whiterosepunk, all one word. I highly recommend them, mostly for their generosity in sending me the MP3. I really enjoy their stuff. They are very very active in progressive politics and causes. I think I may have been too late to mention it, but apparently that song is part of a... I don't know if it's a single released as part of a food drive or something similar, but it's being used for a very noble, charitable purpose. And that said, I think we can get back into the meat of the show here. Morgana has something she wanted to unload.
About what the hell is going on with our freaking Democrats, how they were supposed to be elected for a clear message of let's help get the troops out. And what happens? No, they freaking give Bush a freaking other blank check. What the hell is with that?
Yeah, right now it seems like Dodd and Edwards are the only ones that are worth a shit.
I absolutely applaud Edwards, especially the latest ads. And I know they're not being played everywhere, but they're at least being played here in Oregon.
Oh, God, we're getting bombarded with them here in Oregon. It's
freaking
awesome.
Freaking love them. The message is as clear as possible. Bush is an idiot. He doesn't think he can do any wrong. We need to stop him. We need to stop this war. Here's how we do it. Vote for Edwards. I mean, it's pretty much clear, and I appreciate somebody finally stepping up to the plate saying, yeah, this guy really doesn't think he can do any wrong. He takes absolutely no accountability for his failures. And, yeah, we need to fix his shit.
Definitely. You know, fucking Democrats, they have really got me at the point where I'm tempted to say that, you know, elections aren't fucking working. We can't just start sniping motherfuckers because that's just not cool. But I would definitely love to see a huge mob of people, preferably veterans, just go right into the Capitol building, drag every motherfucker in there out, and just tar and feather them.
How can they not realize what the stress and strain is? I mean, I understand they like to say we know that the troops are being stretched thin, but do they really understand that some of these guys are going back fourth, fifth times, and they really can't do this anymore?
They comprehend the frickin' soldier's experience being bad like a dog knows fire bad.
And who's really accountable for what is going on with the money?
Yeah, that, you know. It's not a good
question. Who is really being accountable for this?
No one's being held accountable. Not in this fucking administration. Not in the current political climate.
Why does he get another blank check? Why can't there be a little bit of a timeline? And why the hell is that press conference that I saw, the one reporter stands up and says, hey, Mr. Bush, you know, having a timeline, isn't that going to tell the terrorists, hey, attack right before? I mean, is that more obvious of a plant of a question?
Maybe this time their new Jeff Gucker.
I mean,
Jeff Gannon, John,
Bush,
whatever the fuck, was
giggled.
Not a gay prostitute.
He freaking giggled when he got that, like,
I know, like, oh, it's my guy, right on. What the fuck? It's such, oh.
The press conferences make me nauseous.
I'm telling you, I've said it before, it's almost fucking pitchforks and torches time. It really almost
Something's got to happen, because these people were elected with the clear freaking goal of we need to stop this war, because that's why we decided we needed a change, and that's why they won all their freaking seats. And how are they helping us?
I know. You know, they kept saying that they were going to stand up. They will not fucking stand up to this cocksucker.
Oh, and I'm sorry, but freaking Hillary waiting until the last minute to vote after it's already passed just to say, oh, I voted against it. No chicken shit. You would have been like Edwards and done it up front.
Yeah. I don't know if Edwards voted, but Dodd did.
Dodd voted against it
while it was still going on.
Right. Dodd was one of the very few that stepped up and said no first. Not when it was like, okay, it's safe to say no.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do some more research on him, because just from what I've seen, he seems all right so far. But I don't know. I think they're all just fucking worthless for
the most
part.
And as much as I don't like all this press going to this, I'm upset that there isn't enough press going on about how many soldiers have lost their life in this month alone.
Yeah.
I mean, the first week of the month was already, you know, set pretty high as far as deaths. Now we're having, they're finding these soldiers that were missing from Fort Drum, and their bodies are almost impossible to identify. And the press isn't all over it. Nobody is like, oh my goodness, these guys were tortured. These guys were young guys that are gone missing. They are a result of how Bush's plan isn't working. Let's do small clusters here and there.
Yeah, what they're not pointing out is that they were grabbed because they were a smaller size patrol, and the smaller size patrols are being used so they can spread people out more to have our presence, you know, more known in the area. So the surge is more effective, quote unquote.
But it's not more effective when more people are actually getting attacked. I mean, the death toll is going up.
Yeah, you spread more guys out, you have to spread them thin. The thinner you spread them, the easier they are to grab.
The easier they are to grab,
the more often they're going to get grabbed, the more effective that's going to be as a fucking tactic.
What really disgusted me, though, is this whole thing that they expect the month of August to have a peak of bloodshed. They expect it because they're planning that by showing that there was a timeline, that this is why they don't have timelines, because there is going to be massive bloodshed because the Iraqis are so freaking smart, and it's not even the Iraqis, but you know what I mean, that they are so smart that they know, hey, there's a timeline. If we do all this chaos right before their timeline, they're going to see what failures they are and leave. And that
it's,
we are encouraging bloodshed by having a timeline.
So this thing is, they don't fucking understand that an insurgency works by keeping its enemy fucking there forever. Because the longer they keep us there, the more fucking casualties we have, the less will we have for it, you know, and the more hesitant we would be about acting again in such a situation and in similar circumstances. So it doesn't matter when you fucking get out. The insurgency wins unless you fucking...
Well, I'm worried about how
unless you get the locals involved,
the
local forces... Yeah, well, local forces are the only fucking way to defeat an insurgency. Look at Malaya. You know, Malaysia, when it was Malaya, is one of the very few instances in history when a fucking communist insurgency was successfully quelled. And that was because local forces were doing the vast majority of the work. They knew the people, they knew the culture, you know, they know their neighbors.
So, as there's no end in sight to this war, where we thought there would be, but now there is none.
We hope there will be.
Okay, and we are getting spread thinner and thinner, and our forces are becoming exhausted. How much more vulnerable are we becoming? I mean, is it possible for more chaos to hit because of how weak we are becoming as a military?
I don't know. All I realize from all of this shit is that the Democrats have proven to me once again that politicians are... Basically, they're shit sandwiches, and your only choice is wet or dry.
Well, right now, Memorial Day's around the corner, and I'm thinking about these young guys. I hate thinking about how they died, but I know it's absolutely awful and horrifying, and I think that that does need to be known, because I think the public needs to understand that these guys... It's what they're going through on their last moments is so horrible that this is a good enough reason to pull us out of this chaos. Let somebody else jump in. Let the UN jump in. Let somebody who is a little bit more neutral and less destructive in to do something, because otherwise we're going to lose more friends. We're going to lose more brothers. We're going to lose more sisters. Everybody.
Why the fuck is Iraq having to import oil? If that doesn't tell you, the whole fucking mess is just blown out its ass. You know? If that is not a fucking indicator of failed policy. That a country with, I don't know if it is the largest freaking untapped oil reserves in the world, but it's one of the fucking top ones in that region. And if they have to import oil now, it's... How much more clear can you get? I mean, the only thing more clear would be if the hand of God came down and just fucking smashed the White House.
And what did you say? We're at our peak oil?
Yep. A lot of analysts agree that we've reached peak oil production now. We're, like, already past it.
Well, it's projected that by this time next year, gas is going to be $4 a barrel, or $4 a gallon. And then by 2010, it's going to be closer to $10 a gallon. Yep. So when it costs you, you know, $150 to fill your tank, will people pay attention then, or is it going to be at the point of no return?
It's like the frog in the boiling water. You turn up the heat slowly, and he doesn't realize until it's too late that it's getting too hot for him. That's what happens with price increases like this. It slowly goes up, slowly goes up. People get more and more fucked until they finally realize, holy fuck, someone's arm is in my ass.
Well, that's what I feel like what's happening with Bush getting another blank check, is that it's just going to lead to so much heartache for so many people. My friend Jamie at Fort Riley, her husband's going back a fourth time. What's really, really fucked up is that he has post-traumatic stress. He's been on antidepressant medicines, and to make him deployable again, they have to take him off the prescriptions, make him look all normal, send his ass over there, and hope to hell he doesn't blow his freaking head off.
Yeah.
And how there is so many guys that can't be on antidepressants that in between deployments, they get to see the psychiatrist, they get their help, and then when it gets time to deploy, all of a sudden everybody's miraculously cleared,
yeah.
They're cured, and they're okay to go back. People with profiles of not being able to lift 5 pounds all of a sudden in the swish of a pen can go back.
Yeah, like Curtis. Curtis had to stay back when we deployed so he could get shoulder surgery. And before we left out of there, though, they sent his ass right out there. And he said that even the doctor admitted that it didn't go as well as it should have. His shoulder was fucked. But they sent him out there. And it put more load on others because, you know, he could do work on the aircraft, but he couldn't. He could do aircraft work,
but see, this is what these blank checks are doing. These blank checks are taking injured soldiers and forcing them back because somebody has to keep going back there.
Yeah.
When we have to keep going back there, and there's just not as many people in the military as there was even 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And what is happening is that no matter how injured you are, I mean, Jim had Crohn's disease. Mm. That is such a non-deployable freaking disease.
Yeah.
They can't help him. He would die real fast, but all of a sudden it's okay for you to go back because, dude, we need to make our numbers. Yeah. Because Bush got another blank check and he says you gotta go.
Yeah, we gotta check the fucking block, need a body in the seat.
They don't care. So not only is it getting stretched too thin, people are going back injured, people are going back with the wrong mindset, and they keep going back because this asshole keeps getting handed checks and he keeps, well, I'm going to make it better because I'm going to send more. I'm going to send more. I'm going to send more.
You know, it is getting harder and harder when I'm on the road and I see a Support Our Troops sticker on the same car that has a Bush Cheney sticker on it still. It is getting harder and harder to keep from running that motherfucker off the road.
Please don't do that.
Well, no. They're lucky Ben has their ass because whenever I'm driving, Ben's in the car with me and I won't do that because he's in there.
If okay, it was just you know me, what? I don't want you doing that period because if you fuck my car, I am going to be pissed.
I know, but if it was I know,
I'm a hypocrite because we have a freaking Pacifica.
I know.
Talk about gas guzzlers. Hello. That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
However, we do have a Metro, folks. It's just that his mother will not give it back because she freaking likes it.
Loves it.
Loves it.
She listens to her Stephanie
Okay, Miller. No, I'm sorry. Correction. She said we can take it back any time.
Yeah. She said you can take it back any time because I pretty much think that at that point she was convinced you're going to kick my ass out.
Could be.
Could be what, that she thought that, or could be that you will.
Oh, anything's possible at this point. You are so not in the clear.
All right.
But anyway, someday we'll get our Metro back, and I got to be honest, I love the Metro, but the Pacifica is more comfortable.
How am I going to run a Republican off the road in a Metro?
It's you.
I can find, there's angles. You hit it right.
Oh, jeez.
No, but seriously, there have been times when I have been listening to, like, I've been listening to Ed Schultz or Tom Hartman or something, and I've heard something just that, ogre.
The hell's the dog barking at?
Ogre, hush.
He was in Ben's room.
He's in Ben's room barking.
Maybe he saw a cat out the window. Is there a kitty out there? Where's the kitty?
You know, we're wasting podcasts. I'm talking to the damn dog.
Oh, sorry.
Did you give him a bath yet?
No, I will.
Oh, God, he reeks.
Tomorrow, I promise.
He reeks.
Dude, I work, okay? You can wash the damn dog.
It's not my dog.
He's partly your dog. You did sign the adoption papers.
He sleeps on our bed, on her blanket, with his head on her pillow, sniffing it all day long while she's at work, and does not come downstairs except when she gets
home for
lunch.
Why don't you show me that kind of devotion? Okay, anyway.
We're paying the dog.
All right, anyway.
Anyway, but yeah, seriously, there have been times when I have really just wanted to run the motherfuckers off the road, drag them out of their car by their freaking mouth, and just start beating them.
Yeah, you have no anger issues whatsoever. Oh, no.
My anger issues are
barely mostly controlled.
Mostly directed at Republicans and their ilk.
It doesn't matter. You still have issues.
And inanimate objects.
Anyway,
Yeah, when you bounce a phone off the wall into my face, I'm going to react.
So, we're pissed.
Yeah.
Oberman had a great segment on it,
though. Oh, great special comment. I think the night before last. You can find it on CryptidLiars.com, too.
But highly recommend for you to listen to Oberman.
So I can record Oberman and watch it later.
Yay. Yeah.
Keith, if you're listening, I'm not gay, but I would be for you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but only if Mark Maron doesn't ask first.
And you bet your ass would be out that freaking door.
Mark wouldn't have me.
Okay, folks.
Mission is so much hotter than I am.
Okay, folks. Well, that's the show. There'll be more soon.
I'm going to go ahead and close it up with one more song that is...
Wait a minute. You forgot to add your little thank you for listening to Podcast Network.
Well, you know what? I can get to that.
Oh, sorry.
I was going to get to that. You just don't know my methods, woman.
Oh. You better shush now.
You know, this is just going to keep going for a little while, folks, because I was not prepared at all
for this. Closing?
Yeah, I wasn't prepared at all for this. I thought I would remember the band's name. Well, I know it's Billy's Kid.
Should we just
Billy
put it on pause?
No, this is fun. People love hearing this dumb crap.
They're thinking you're wasting their time right now.
No, they're not. They're thinking they're getting some kind of deep insight into my freaking mind, but... My God, I've got too many freaking MySpace friends, and now MySpace is busy, and it's... Okay, there's the next band I'm going to play. I will tell you who they are after the song plays.
What about Punk Voter?
Punk Voter is punkvoter.com. There you have it, folks. That's Modern Day Crusader by Billy's Kid. You can find them at myspace.com/punkbilly'skid, B-I-L-L-Y-S-K-I-D. I really enjoyed that one there, and I want to thank them for sending the MP3 and apologizing for how long they had to wait before it was available here on the podcast. So go ahead and go and check them out, and of course Order of the White Rose as well. Anybody else got some MP3s they want to throw out there? I'm going to try to get back into the swing of doing this on a regular basis and get you guys some exposure. I really love hearing new music or hearing music from bands that are established or up-and-comers or whatever, as long as there's some intensity behind it and
hell, some comics, hip-hop acts, whatever. Just, you know, send me some stuff if you want it on here. Love all of you. So that said, I suppose it's time to draw this to a close because it's kind of bordering on the long side now. And well, thank you all again for your support. If you want to comment or contact us, you can go ahead and call 1-888-82-REVOLT and leave a message for the show. Or you can email us at dave@watchitburn.org. Geez, if you go to the website, watchitburn.org, there's the opening page there has links to my MySpace, to the blog, to the podcast itself, and to the archive of the original godlesskinzer.com, which unfortunately is... Well, the archive is in the very skeletal stage right now because I'm having trouble importing all the old posts. But rest assured, when I finally get around to it, it will be done. So that said, hey, if you'd like to support us, make a donation there at watchitburn.org/blog. You'll see some links on the sidebar to PayPal and to Amazon Honor System. To help visit Morgana's blog, too. There's a link to it on there. You can see her, Morgana, on my friends at MySpace. Or you can find her in the right sidebar at watchitburn.org/blog. So until next time, everybody, take care of each other and watch your six. This is Captain Sterling's Little Problem by The Coup. You can find them on MySpace as well. Get that ass up.
Request, please, permission to go home, a blow off your knees. It's a rap then, grab the Mac 10, plan of action, you're the captain. In case you're wondering, well yes, I'm gon' fight. I'm finna join the army, but one you don't like. Needed some stack on me to get free like a parolee. Now I'm in apparel, color shittin' guacamole. In another country, brought to you by Coca-Cola. Order from the dock to shoot everything holy. Shit, I'm 19 and I'm missing all my homies. All that fight for freedom shit, we know that shit is phony. Free to work at Shoney's, about 1 hour for six bonies. And every day we help them scratch and scrape for macarons. And cheese bullets squeeze out of my assault weapon. Tear through the air, then his chest and his dressing. Look like my brethren from the hood, I be repping. I wept it, changing from a soldier to a veteran. Left in shambles about this kin of no relation. Prepped in the sergeant's in with quiet calculation. Message from the soldiers to the brass administration. Looks like Captain Sterling's finna have a situation. It's a rap then, grab the Mac 10, plan of action, you're the captain. Excuse me, Colonel Sir, may I request please permission to go home, a blow off your knees. It's a rap then, grab the Mac 10, plan of action, you're the captain. In case you're wondering, well yes, I'm gon' fight. I'm finna join the army, but one you don't like.
Another public service announcement.
My first, but it may not be the last. When I scream this at the sergeant with his head pressed to the magnum, you sent us to this country not to free but body back them and free up all their money so accounting firms can add them. Drag them and their corporates to their own battle. Said they're sending us to the slaughter like cattle. Me and this whole unit, we will start to ramshackle. Listen very closely, you can hear the fire crackle. You could weigh the air which he was breathing out his nostrils. Couldn't understand why we were seeming so hostile. Said we spread democracy like he was preaching gospel. Slapped him in his head and said, now shut up, Sergeant Roscoe. This is not explicit, let me tell you straight out. We'll no longer kill to keep this country drained out. We want up out of here like on the next plane shop. Tell the cop make it happen or we'll blow his brains out. It's a rap then, grab the Mac 10, plan of action, you're the captain. Excuse me, Colonel Sir, may I request please permission to go home, a blow off your knees. It's a rap then, grab the Mac 10, plan of action, you're the captain. In case you're wondering, well yes, I'm gon' fight. I'm finna join the army, but one you
don't